This is IT's time. This is the CIO's time. This is the IT director of IT's time to get a seat at the table, because you need to enable all of your support teams to be able to support their distributed workforce in these times. And what you're going to find when you have these conversations is that A, there's a lot of help that these other teams require, but B, a lot of this can be solved by you taking a lead on setting up a company-wide service desk.
Frankly, IT. Straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly, IT, episode 76. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Jay Srinivasan, the co-founder and CEO of service desk software maker at Spoke. Jay previously co-founded a mobile testing platform that he sold to Google in 2014, and he then spent a couple of years in product management at Google. For the last 4 years or so, he's been focused on building the next generation of service desk software at Spoke, and along the way, he's heavily researched the market, the trends, and how the technology is shaping up. Today, Jay shares with us the three things he thinks will define the service desk in 2021 and beyond, and what IT teams need to do to lead the coming wave of automated cross-department service.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, Jay. Welcome to Frankly IT.
Hi there.
You have identified three trends for the service desk that are on the horizon for 2021 and beyond, and we're going to dig into each of them on the show today. Why don't you start by telling us what the first trend is that you're seeing for the service desk?
Yeah, so a common trend that we're seeing is the need for a service desk beyond the traditional users like IT. So just taking a step back, the role of a service desk is when you have someone in an organization and they need access to knowledge or services from an internal support team, they use the service desk. And traditionally, this has been extremely focused on primarily IT things. I need a new laptop. I'm having a Wi-Fi issue. But if you take a step back and don't think about the IT aspect of it, but instead just think about the notion of looking for knowledge or services, you realize that the same thing applies to HR. I have a payroll question or a benefits question. It applies to marketing. I need a new case study. And so what we've seen is this realization that teams across the organization have the same basic requirement, a system that helps them manage inbound requests. And so we've seen this explosion of non-IT use cases in the service desk.
What does that trend mean for the folks who are in IT?
There's two parts to it. One, it's actually fantastic for them because IT are the service desk experts. In an organization, your IT team, your IT manager, they're the folks that know how service desks work. They know which tools to choose, and they're the most familiar with them. And essentially what this allows IT organizations to do is to essentially get a seat at the table, because they can go to their colleagues at other functions and say, hey, we have this tool, the service desk that we use. We think it's going to be useful for you as well. Can we help you with it? So one part of it is it elevates the role of IT in enabling all these other support teams. So that's one implication. I think the other implication, though, is service desks are traditionally built for IT, and IT teams tend to only choose systems that solve all of IT's needs. But when you need to use a tool that is not just used by IT, but let's say less tech-savvy folks in other functions of the company, IT needs to make a conscious choice to choose a tool that is not just optimized for IT teams, but is optimized for every team in the company, or is at least usable by every team in the company.
So you think that in 2021, we're going to see a number of IT teams who start talking to the rest of the organization about rolling out service desk in other areas of the company?
I certainly hope so. And first of all, I don't think this is something that is only starting now. It's definitely been a trend. Most of the forward-thinking IT leaders that I spend my time with already realize this. But yes, absolutely. And let's actually just take shelter in place, COVID, remote work as a catalyst for this. It was entirely possible that a year ago, IT was the only team in a company that used a service desk or a help desk, and all the other functions got by with email and folks walking by the HR pod or their marketing pod in their offices. But now that everyone's remote, you can't walk by someone's desk. And so I think in this last year itself, we've seen an increase in IT teams going to their support teams and saying to the other support teams in our organization saying, hey, do you need help on this? We can help you get set up with a service desk.
This seems like a fairly big shift for some of those other teams in terms of their thinking. For example, they might have used something like a project management software or Airtable or Trello or something along those lines to take requests from other parts of the organization. So what I hear you suggesting, or maybe what they're asking for at this point, is something that's closer to a ticketing system. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And I like that you bring up project management tools, either something simpler like a Trello or something complex like a Jira or an Asana or something. And I think it's useful to take a step back and think about when you need a ticketing system or a service desk versus when you need a project management tool. Project management tools are excellent for projects. These are multi-step, multi-week activities that require many, many people, versus a ticket very often is transactional. It's a request that can be handled within 5 minutes if it gets to the right person. And so what happens is, and IT teams have known this forever, like the sort of quintessential project management system that an IT team would use is Jira, but they would use something else for ticketing, either Jira's own product, Jira Service Desk, or something like AtSpoke or ServiceNow. Versus with the other support teams, they've only been using project management tools. And these are incredibly cumbersome and very complex and slow, especially when you're trying to get through high throughput transactional items, which is why for these types of tickets, these types of questions, you actually need to move from a project management tool to a service desk or a ticketing system.
And interesting, you pointed out, so this will require a shift in thinking for other teams. But as you pointed out, IT can be the leaders here. They can be the heroes in a way, teaching them about service desk efficiencies and systems and how to use them properly.
Oh, for sure. We're in an era of tools that by definition are just easier to use these days. And so one, service desks aren't as complex and cumbersome as they used to be, let's say 10 years ago. But two, IT can take the onboarding. So let me give you an example. Let's say there's an HR team within an organization that right now uses something for project management for their long HR projects. And outside of that, they use an email inbox. What the IT team can do is to say, hey, your customers, your end users, your employees can still use the email address, except we'll have that email address go into a ticketing system that we'll set up for you. So the IT team can actually configure the service desk, not only introduce the service desk to the other support teams, but configure it to be as easy and with as little disruption as possible.
And I think this might tie nicely into the second trend. So why don't you tell us what the second trend is?
When we started AtSpoke 4.5 years ago, my co-founders and I, we were leaving Google. And what we noticed at that point at Google, but also elsewhere, was this absolute explosion in machine learning tools that could be used in software. So essentially, machine learning had moved from the theoretical and research side to much more application focused and easily embeddable in modern software. And so when we started AtSpoke to build a modern service desk in 2016, we said, hey, this needs to include machine learning in it from the ground up. And what we've seen over the last 4.5 years is that machine learning in service desks is becoming more and more mainstream. It's becoming more and more of a basic requirement. The traditional service desk vendors like ServiceNow, Atlassian, Zendesk are building their own machine learning layer on top of their existing service desks. And the new vendors have machine learning built into the tool on day one. Two benefits to this. One, every tool has machine learning already, is building machine learning, or at least speaks to it in their roadmap. And so just in terms of awareness, as well as an expectation of machine learning in service desks, it's just becoming more mainstream. But two, this experience of using machine learning in a service desk is becoming more common with IT professionals. It's no longer a theoretical exercise. The vendors are all building it or have already built it or are building it. And the IT agents are getting more and more familiar with machine learning in their tools. Now, the benefit of this is internal IT tickets are A, repetitive within the organization, and B, relatively repetitive across organizations. Whether you're a 300,000 person company or a 300 person company, people still need new laptops. And so there's a lot of commonality in tickets across companies as well as within a company. You get the same questions over and over again. You could discuss whether machine learning is hyped to a degree. Everyone talks about machine learning in some form or the other, but in reality, service desks are a fantastic, fantastic use case for machine learning because of how repetitive the input questions are. In our research, we see that something like 70% of all tickets that come into an IT help desk are repetitive in one form or the other. Of that 70%, 30% are so repetitive that the agent doesn't even need to get involved. The system with machine learning can automatically respond to the employee. And the remaining 40% are still, even though an agent needs to work on them, they're repetitive. Therefore, machine learning can automate the workflow that you're going to go do.
And do you see those percentages changing over time as machine learning becomes more ubiquitous and more sophisticated?
That's a really interesting question. And you would expect the answer to that question to be yes. But in reality, the answer is no. And that's actually not a bad thing. I'll explain why. Tickets are repetitive and they're also not that complex. So if you're building a machine learning model to just focus on IT ticket resolution, you will actually very quickly get to a spot where the machine learning model knows all the possible repetitive questions. So it's not that, hey, 5 years from now, we're going to be automating more. We'll be automating more in terms of new workflows, et cetera. But the questions themselves are, it's a relatively small pool of questions. And so what you will find is that most systems might take a little bit of time, like a few weeks to a few months to ramp up within an organization. But once it gets to that stage, it's not like Google search where who knows what someone's going to be asking tomorrow. In the case of IT tickets, it's a limited set of questions that people ask. And therefore, the machine learning models are pretty good already, and they get really good very quickly when implemented within a company.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
What does the machine learning trend look like from a user experience? What's the effect there?
There are essentially two ways in which end users are benefited. The first, simply put, is efficiency. I ask a question. I will come up with an example. So I'm at home right now, and in the evening, I need to log into my laptop. I need to send an email, and for some reason, the VPN is not working. Now, I could file a ticket, wait till my IT colleague comes to work the next day, and then can respond. Or the machine learning system in this case will say, hey, oh, your VPN isn't working. Here's what you should do. And it will give you a bunch of instructions. And so the end user benefit on machine learning is super straightforward. You get immediate answers to a bunch of your questions. That's one part of it. The second part of it, though, the more elegant benefit is machine learning removes repetition even for the end user. So for example, something like 30% of our tickets, we automatically, the VPN case will respond with an answer and say, hey, go do this, and it'll work. But for the 40% of questions that are repetitive that an agent still needs to work on, what the machine learning system will do is say, hey, oh, it looks like you're asking to join this mailing group. Can you respond back with these three answers? So it'll already know the questions to ask you versus having to go back and forth with the agent. And then it will tee up all this information for the agent and even give them the ability to go take those actions automatically. So one is just immediate self-service. The second is it takes out the repetitive tasks, the questions that you go back and forth answering, clicking buttons, filling out forms, all of that. Machine learning is essentially just going to make your life easier. It's going to take out the repetitive grunt work.
That sounds fantastic from both perspectives.
Which is why our customers, as well as customers of any service desk with machine learning, are so happy. Adoption is very, very fast within organizations. And the more intuitive you can make the tool, the faster the adoption. And it's one of those secular trends that just makes sense, both in terms of efficiency and cost, but also in terms of customer satisfaction.
All right, let's look at the third trend now.
So we talked about service desks beyond IT as the first trend. We talked about machine learning becoming mainstream and service desks as the second trend. The third trend is something that doesn't just apply to service desks, it applies to everyone's modern workplace, which is essentially the proliferation of tools and knowledge bases within a company. So if I were to rewind 10 years ago, there was probably one company shared folder with files in it where all the company knowledge resided. And there were probably 5 to 10 total tools that the company used. There was an ERP, there was a CRM, et cetera. Now, even in a 30-person company, you're going to have something like 100 different tools being used. IT is using 7 different tools. HR is using a few tools. Marketing is using a few tools, et cetera. And everyone has Google Docs or Office 365, SharePoint, Dropbox, Box, et cetera. So what's happened is there's been this Cambrian explosion in the number of tools and knowledge bases within an organization. And as a result, where knowledge and services reside within an organization has completely fragmented. Previously, if I needed to do something with HR, or I would just go to one system. Now, the answer could be in any of 10 systems with 10 different workflows or in 10 different knowledge bases. Then, if you think about the role of a service desk, which is to provide knowledge and services back to end users, this makes things a lot harder. People can't help themselves because knowledge is fragmented everywhere. And so the third trend is service desks need to adapt to the fragmentation of knowledge and tools within an organization.
So can you tell us more about what that looks like?
Let's actually talk through it with an example. So a very, very common workflow within a company is employee onboarding. A new employee joins, and again, 10 years ago, there's probably one person in charge of this. There's the spreadsheet. They would contact someone in HR. They'd contact their manager. They'd contact IT, and everything would be taken care of. Today, in an organization, when a new employee needs to get onboarded, HR needs to take 5 steps in 5 different tools. IT needs to take 10 steps in 10 different tools. For example, they need to go to Okta and do something. They need to go to Jamf and do something. They need to go create a new laptop. And so what's happened is the steps required to complete tasks now require a lot more touch points across a lot more tools. So the way I like to think about it is the work only starts at the ticket. The ticket comes in and your work starts then, because then you need to go do 10 things in 10 different tools. And so a good modern service desk recognizes that something like half of all tickets that come to an agent require the agent to go to other tools and do something. And so a good modern service desk is going to integrate with those other tools. So when that onboarding request comes in, the service desk is going to allow you to click a button in the service desk and do something in Okta. Click another button and do something in Jamf. Click a third button and do something in BetterCloud. So having a service desk that actually connects through an API to each of these different tools to allow you to take action, to take actions, is going to be incredibly important. That's on the service side of the house. On the knowledge side of the house, you need, again, a system that links to all the fragmented knowledge across all these different places. So this is actually where you can start tying these trends together. So when you have machine learning and fragmented tools, you then need the machine learning to find the right answer among all the fragmented knowledge bases. And you need machine learning to kick off the right workflow with the actions and all the different tools. So you actually have to stitch all these trends together to build a compelling service desk experience today.
That seems like a tall order for one piece of software.
Yes, it is. I'll give you a few angles at this. One, the good news is modern software is meant to work together. Development of new tools is becoming easier and easier. Almost every tool these days has a robust API, and it's easier and easier to integrate these tools together. So yes, it's a tall order, but one, the tooling for software developers, for service desk developers, is easier. That's one part of it. Second, that's actually because it is a tall order, but you know what? That's why service desks are so important. There is not an IT team that does not rely on their service desk as one of their key ways of actually managing the work that they need to do. They place service desks to have an immense responsibility to IT teams to essentially keep their operations running. And so service desks, by definition, need to be complex tools that cover a lot of different use cases. And it's something like at Spoke, we started 4.5 years ago. We're still building. There's a lot to build, and it is a tall order. But if you do it right, you go back to the point that tickets are where the work starts. You're not just handling tickets, but you're actually getting to be the front end for all of the workflows that happen within an organization. So there's a lot of work to do, but it's also very rewarding to be a service desk vendor.
All right. So looking at all three of these trends together, plus some of the other things that are going on, like the workforce shifting to distributed and remote, what is the takeaway here for IT teams? What do they need to be considering and looking at as they go into 2021 when it comes to their service desk?
The first thing I would say is, talk to your other colleagues within your organization. This is IT's time. This is the CIO's time. This is the IT director of IT's time to get a seat at the table, because you need to enable all of your support teams to be able to support their distributed workforce in these times. And what you're going to find when you have these conversations is that A, there's a lot of help that these other teams require, but B, a lot of this can be solved by you taking a lead on setting up a company-wide service desk. Now, in that process, what you're going to want to do is to understand essentially what the operational blueprint of your company is. What are the different teams that need help? What are the types of requests that they get? How do people access that help right now? So you get this operational blueprint, and then you take your existing service desk or you look at other vendors, and you're looking for essentially 3 or 4 things. One, you're looking for a tool that is usable by every team in a company, but has the power that IT needs. You need a full-fledged ticketing system that has everything that IT requires, but it's not prohibitive for a non-IT team to use it. That's the first thing that you're looking for. Two, you're understanding that your employees in the modern workplace are going to be on chat, especially in a distributed workforce. So you need a service desk that works extremely well with chat. Three, machine learning is becoming mainstream and you have the operational blueprint. So look for a service desk that has machine learning and use the operational blueprint, the common requests that go to every team, the knowledge that's fragmented, such that the machine learning can learn that and help people themselves. And then four, you want a service desk that integrates with all of your other common tools. So any new non-service desk software that you buy, ask about their API because it's going to be critical. And to your service desk vendor, go to them and make sure that their API is talking to all these other tools. So this is IT's time. They can enable immense productivity across the organization. And with the right sort of modern service desk, that's the way for them to do it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jay.
Thank you. Really appreciate the time.
That was Jay Srinivasan, co-founder and CEO at AtSpoke. I'll put links to Jay's contact info and some AtSpoke service desk resources you may want to explore in today's show notes at avik.com/franklyit/076. AtSpoke's blog, for example, is an excellent place to find articles on things like machine learning on the service desk, scaling your IT ecosystem, and best practices for remote IT support. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Avik Networks. Own the network.